Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A couple of voices we like there, Mike Tirico and John Gruden, talking about our next guest who's joining us at the Miller Lite Beer Garden at Navy Pier, former Bear tight end Zach Miller. Got a Miller Lite. Life is good, man. Football is back. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Life is good. Miller Lite in front of me. Got the Bears opening up the season with the Packers tomorrow, so couldn't get any better.
Nobody's asked you in probably at least 10 minutes how you're feeling these days with all these Bears fans here. How are you feeling? How's the knee?
It's been 9 minutes, but I'm doing all right. My knee's good. I got some things that I'll deal with for the rest of my life, but as far as where I'm at now, I'm able to kind of move around and I'll just deal with a little bit of pain that I gotta hang on to.
You have to continue with physical therapy. Like it's a lifetime commitment now, yeah, is it not?
It will be. I got some lingering effects just as far as nerve damage. It's probably going to be stuck with me forever. But it's something that I'll have to get used to. That'll be my new normal, and we'll carry on.
Can you describe what the new normal is? Because I think people like me, I've talked to so many football players, but I never played a down of it in my life. I don't think we can ever fully understand what it is you guys go through to play that game.
So here's the thing. Anytime you probably ask a football player or any athlete how they're doing, if they're coming off an injury, and most of the time you're going to get, I'm good, I'm fine, you're lying. We're all lying. Nobody is really 100% in this league at any time, and I don't think really, in my situation that I'll ever be back to that. So new normal is dealing with daily pain. I feel like a 90-year-old man at the age of 34, so that's it. I knew what I signed up for playing football. I wish that it would never went that way, but that's our current state.
Can you run?
Not that fast. I can. It's not that fun. Let's just put it that way. It doesn't feel good, but I could do it. If I was getting chased by something or someone, I could probably run.
Okay.
What do you do for pain that doesn't get you in trouble?
I drink Miller Lite.
There you go.
There it is.
And we talked about it briefly. I spinal fusion in 07, and I fell in love with these little yellow friends, and it took me down a real dark path for about 6-7 years. It can do that after surgeries.
It can, man. It's a dangerous that's a dangerous part of it, especially for me. I was on such a high dose, and for you going through something like that, I mean, that's not a minor injury. But I had a really good support system. I mean, I was 30 days in the hospital, and they were plugging me, man. It was nonstop all day long, full of some fun feeling things. But like you said, it's a dangerous can be a dangerous slope that you can get on. So I had a good support system to help me out. And when it was time for me to move away from that and start facilitating other things and kind of get away the narcotics and the bad stuff that it kind of is essentially killing your body, I was able to move away from that and kind of transition into other stuff.
It's kind of amazing, isn't it? What they can do to make that pain temporarily go away.
Yeah, it really is. And I'll tell you what, I hate that feeling of, taking all that stuff, but I needed it. There was no way getting around it. I think I had 11 surgeries in that time. I think 8 weeks, I had 9 of them, and then 2 more a couple months down the road. So in that time frame, there was no way that I could have got around that without using that type of medication. But It was certainly needed.
NFL players, to go to work have to take pain medication. They get pumped up with anti-inflammatories and a lot of things that do horrible things to your body, Zach. But in the collective bargaining agreement, you can't smoke weed. Are you are you of the belief that when the next CBA is done, that many years wrong will be adjusted and guys will be able to recreationally or medicinally smoke pot?
I hope that it's moving that direction, just in the sense that if it can help us kind of get through things on a daily basis or through certain injuries and things, if we're going to be pushing opioids and other things that obviously are way worse for us, more addictive and can cause a chain reaction of very bad things down the road, I don't see why it wouldn't be explored. And I think it's starting to go that route. I just hope that once that next CBA comes around, it's something that's discussed by both sides and we can get something in place that is it's beneficial for everybody involved. And we can kind of adopt some of these things that these other professional leagues and things that they're doing to help us out.
Again, can you speak to what that culture is? So you obviously, you're prescribed it. You need it, right? You're having 11 surgeries in a short period of time. But what about just, you know, an offensive lineman after a Sunday game getting ready to play a Thursday game? What do they need to get ready?
It's different now. So when I first came into the league, it was if you needed something, he had a sore ankle, you could kind of go in and get really whatever you wanted. That changed with some of the stuff that went on down with the Saints at that time.
Yep. Coaching staff kind of got fond of him too.
Yeah, so that changed at that time. And now it's more something more serious down the road. If guys are they're sore or dealing with whatever, they're not handing out the narcotics or the opioids that they were back in the day. They're there for serious injuries and guys who are in a serious amount of pain. But I'd say most of those dudes are probably going to get on an anti-inflammatory or two during the week. And they always try and hold them off as long as you can because it's a long 17-week season. And then when we start making it into the playoffs and down the road and we're playing football in February, it's even longer. So it's time to kind of pump the brakes on that.
We're talking to former Bears tight end Zach Miller, who's still going to be around the team and the facility, and he's doing great community outreach stuff. And he's here with Miller Lite today as we're at the Beer Garden here at Navy Pier qualifying people to win Bears tickets to the game tomorrow night. I'm curious, as someone who had the injury that you had when you had it in your career, I remember talking about it on the show at the time, that it struck me that you were saying, I want to come back and play, even though it just seemed virtually impossible, yeah. Given the injury and your age. How you took that, and then you see a story like Andrew Luck, yeah, and how he deals with rehab, and he just said, you know what, I don't want to go through this anymore. How did you experience that story?
As I got tossed into this thing, the only way that I could approach it is give everything I had to get back to football. I didn't want to live with the what if, because I know other guys that had that injury. There's a running back that played for the Patriots back in the day that had that his rookie year, and he was able to come back and play football. And I had heard of these stories of people being able to come back, and I wanted to continue to play if that hadn't had happened.
Sure.
So my mindset was, all right, I'm going to give everything I can to rehab and see if it's possible for me to get that way. And if I can't, I'm cool with it, because I'd already played, I was 10 years. If I'd have been in 2 years, it might have been a little bit different. But with my age and where I was at, that was more of an uphill battle. But I just had to, in my own mind, give everything I had to the comeback and see if it was possible. And if it wasn't, it was time for me to go.
Do you think what Luck did might spark a trend? Do you think more guys might be inclined to bail a little bit earlier to spare themselves the suffering down the road?
You're seeing a little bit of that now. And here and there, you got guys who kind of checked out. Not, I don't want to say checked out, but they left the game in their prime. You look at Barry Sanders, walked away when he was still at the height of his game. Calvin Johnson, another guy, and Andrew dealing with what he was going through. And I'm not really sure the specifics of his injury, but I think that he gave a lot of thought to his decision. It wasn't like he just woke up one day and decided, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I think he put quite a bit amount of time into his decision, and it just happened to be that time and place. I think was a little bit crazy when it all popped off.
I think it started with a lot of fans, honestly,
yeah, for sure.
Just all the money that he had coming to him, the season he had last year, the injury seeming relatively minor. Yeah. I think it was startling, and it was another thing that we were talking about, like where people like me really have no idea what the hell you guys go through.
And who knows where Andrew was at, where his body was at every day. Nobody knows what he feels like when he wakes up. Everybody sees the highlights and the him getting hit, getting smoked in the ribs and hopping up and saying, hey, nice job, man. Good. Everybody sees that, and they think that he's just – he's good out there. He's happy-go-lucky and everything's fine, but he probably wakes up probably in a considerable amount of pain. So you never know where he was at, and obviously he made the best decision for himself.
That Patriots running back he was just alluding to, I had to go to the internet for it. God bless the internet. I don't know how we did these shows. Robert Edwards was the running back out of Georgia, and I had forgotten that he hurt himself playing in a beach game at the Pro Bowl when the Pro Bowl was in Waikiki Beach.
Yeah. Brutal.
That's what you get for making the Pro Bowl in your first season.
Man.
Yeah, and he heroically came back after there was discussion early on about amputation with Robert Edwards.
We're talking to former Bears tight end Zach Miller, and Bears Conversations and Segments this year brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Built Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. You know Mitch Trubisky on a level that none of us know him. Like, the fans, I feel like, get such a guarded, media-created image of him. He's so careful when he gets in front of a microphone. You've rode to games with him, right? Like, how tight are you and Mitch?
We're close.
Okay.
We are very close.
So can you please, like, you guys are out to dinner on a Saturday night. What's Mitch Trubisky like in terms of dinner table conversation?
Oh, he's
like, honestly, like, I want to know everything.
What's his favorite color? What are his turn-ons? What are his turn-offs?
Honestly, I want to know about this guy's personality. Whatever you're willing to share.
Because he won't let us in. That's what he's saying, Zach. He won't let us in.
And I get why he's gone. I get why he doesn't trust the media. I truly do. And he wants to prove it on the field first. And so I understand it. But when I hear you guys talk about him, oh, we gravitate to him as a leader. He's an amazing guy to be around. I don't see it. You know what I mean? It's like,
you're not with him every day.
That's what I'm saying, though. So can paint that picture for us.
He's just, like you said, he's a natural leader. So people automatically go to that. Now the position that he's in brings a little bit of that with him.
But yeah.
It was never too big for him from day one. His first start was a Monday night game at Soldier Field against the Minnesota Vikings. And the second he walked in the huddle, you kind of just knew that nothing was too big for him. He just got it. Now you take the pads off and you strip the helmet away, and he's just a regular dude from Ohio. We went fishing a couple weeks ago on a day off, hit some golf balls out on the golf course, and we're just out there having fun.
What type of fishing did you do? You've piqued my interest.
I caught one bass.
Okay.
We were out there for about 30 minutes, and then we went to the course and started hacking away.
Okay.
Is he a good golfer?
He is. He is one of the most competitive people you can ever be around.
Here we go.
Don't even get in. I'm not talking football. I'm talking about ping pong, bags, pool, whatever it is. He's trying to beat you, and he's trying to beat you bad.
And he's good at it?
And he's good at it all. I think that's just what comes along with being in that position. He's a great natural athlete. Super competitive. One of the, probably for his age, I'd say one of the most kind, caring people at that age. You know, sometimes you're not really mature enough in that environment. And I'll tell you what, man, he takes care of his people. He's a loving dude and one of my best friends. And I can't say enough about what he is. And I wish that he would let you guys in, because I think you would all be pretty happy about who he is.
Why is he so guarded?
I'm not sure. It's probably because you're not in that circle. I mean, it's one of those things where he is in such a big spotlight. You know, number one pick coming into the greatest football franchise in NFL history in a city that has diehard fans that, you know, I mean, everywhere he goes, he's on.
He's the guy, right?
So it's not like he's just going to kind of walk by and nobody's going to notice him. So everywhere he goes, he's got to be on. And when you kind of step away from that and you take all that away, I'm telling you, he's just a good dude.
How does he deal with the pressure?
Nobody can put more pressure on him than him himself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, he is extremely hardworking, and there's no outside voice or outside amount of criticism that's going to be harder on himself than he is.
I've tried to remind Bears fans that it's not the second year in the league when quarterbacks have been making the jump. It's the second year in the good offense, like in the good system. That's when Goff did it. He was written off. But once he got with McVay, his second year with McVay took off. Wentz, the same thing with Peterson. So that's this year
that is.
For Mitch. What's realistic for him? We know the team is good. We know the defense and all that. But for him, what's realistic?
I mean, I told him going into the season that, I don't think there's any reason why he couldn't win an NFL MVP award.
Wow.
I don't see why in our offense, in the type of people that he has around him with his capabilities, why he couldn't do that. You look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who's in that same system, and very similar type of players. They can move around. Mitch is as athletic as they make him, and his ability to extend plays and kind of be in this offense now for another year. I told him going into it, it's weird because you get taught something from Coach Nagy and his quarterback coach, Dave Ragone. They're teaching him how they know the offense. And
yep.
He's bringing it in, and he's learning it. And now it's almost that he takes it and relearns it the way that he knows it himself. And he goes out there, and he's had a little bit of experience. He knows the way that he sees things now, not the way that they see him. It's now the way that he sees it. And now he makes this jump. And I don't see why he can't be a league MVP and carry us as far as February.
Does he ask you for critique of his play, and what do you tell him?
Oh, we're very honest with each other. And it's not – it's more – the days that he's frustrated are more of the days that he's like, man. And it's almost like, all right, dude, strip all – hold on 1 second. What are you –
oh,
here.
No, a Packer fan got in.
I just noticed that.
Zach Miller says, boo this lady.
You're not writing any of this down, are you?
Don't give away any state secrets.
Sorry, what were we going at?
you're no big deal. Just the quarterback of the Bears and how you said he's going to win an MVP.
Your right. honesty with him when you guys are conversing and you said it's toughest on himself when he's not going well.
It's
obviously.
More so just trying to bring him up because he's so hard on himself. And the days that he wants to be perfect are the days where I'm like, listen, man, look, we had good stuff today. And every athlete probably more so focuses on the mistakes and the things that didn't go well opposed to the 90% of the stuff that did go well. So it's just kind of saying, hey, listen, we'll fix that. We'll move forward and keep progressing.
What's he great at? What can he improve at?
I think he's obviously really good at extending the play. I think where he wants to make a jump and where I think everybody wants to see him, where I want to see him is his decisiveness. Because when he makes the correct decision with conviction, he is incredible. And you can see it when you know he knows where he is going with the football and he believes in it. He's a different guy than like, okay, I think I'm going here. So when he knows where he's going and he has conviction doing it, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
And is that just reps and comfort in the offense?
Yeah, it's just something that – I mean, he's young in this league, and we run one of the most complex offenses that there is. I mean, I was around NFL football for 10 years, and this by far, is the best, the most fun. But it's – you got to work at it. And the longer he's in it and the more reps that he gets, the better he'll be.
What's it been like, though? I know you've still been around the organization and you're around some of your former teammates still involved. The culture change with Matt Nagy was – and I know you don't want to throw dirt on John Fox, but if you do, feel free. But, I mean, it seems like everybody really buys in. And you hear that a lot, but sometimes it rings hollow. It doesn't with this group, does it?
Yeah, and I love Coach Fox, so I would never do that. That guy was – he was with me in some dark days, so I got nothing but love for that guy. Our culture change is just, you know, Coach Nagy came in, and you could tell from the first meeting that it was just a little bit different. I mean, he's got a little bit of swag to him. He carries himself in a way that everybody kind of wants to follow suit. No nonsense, loves football, loves to have fun, and he does everything. In my mind, I told him from day one, he's really made every single decision, every single move that you kind of – I've had a different perspective to kind of step back and watch from the inside. It's been flawless. I love being around him, and that culture change is just what he implemented. He carries a little bit of swag with him, and that goes from the top down. You could see that switch when those guys stepped on the football field. You know what I mean? It was a different team, a little more swag, a little more free, and that's kind of the product that you get once you put that out there.
Shaheen going to be all right?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, he still has tremendous ability and upside. He's had a tough run early just because of the injuries, but when he's healthy, he is such a force, and he doesn't even know it, how big, strong, and athletic he is. For his size and how he moves is incredible, and his catch radius is stupid how big it is. The one thing we got to teach him how to fall a little bit more graceful. That's all. I'm like just a little more graceful, but
big tree fall hard.
I love him, and he once he puts it all together, he's dangerous, and we just got to get him there and. You know, I don't even want to say it because I dealt with it all that. But if he stays on the football field and doing his thing, he'll have a great year.
Maybe the very nifty-footed Bradley Sowell can show him some steps.
I'll tell you what, Bradley can show him some end zone dances.
Yeah, he can, man.
He's got the moves.
Got some good old touchdown celebrations.
I was in the locker room after he scored last year. You guys were going insane. It was like your little brother had won the Super Bowl. Everyone was so happy for that dude.
And I'll tell you what, Club Dub, that turns up in there. I wish you guys would be able to see that spectacle. But we got a lot of fun. We have some fun in there.
Who's the worst dancer in Club Dub?
Ooh, we've had some bad ones. I saw an article that said somebody said that Coach Nags was getting back to the Saturday morning dance offs. I've seen some things in there, guys. I have seen some things. I don't know, like probably. I love Pat Scales, but if I had to judge off of it, it might be Pat right now, and I love you, buddy, but you're a bad dancer.
Yeah, those long snappers. Zach, thank you, man. Thanks, Zach. Love whenever you're on the air, so don't be a stranger to the show, all right?
My pleasure, man.
We appreciate it.
Zach Miller.
That is Zach Miller, former Bears tight end.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.